Hello, and welcome to the Grayson Taylor Podcast, the podcast for young artists and entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Grayson Taylor. I'm a published novelist, professional actor, composer, and independent filmmaker. This podcast is all about the creative arts, writing, filmmaking, acting, Lego building, composing, and more, including reviews of the latest films and books. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome to part two of How to Make Your First Short Film. In this episode, we'll be going over everything from working on set to releasing and promoting your film. Now on to budgeting. I usually don't have a budget at all. I spend no money on my films. Thus far, the most I've spent on a film is maybe $6 that I spent on a pair of handcuffs for Spy Squad, which I don't think I actually even ended up using, but I used them in Suspect, so it was okay. But I rarely ever spend any money on films, because all my equipment, they're all gifts, and you can rent things if you want, but I would just ask for, you know, for your birthday, for Christmas, whatever it is, for relatively cheap equipment, good equipment, hopefully, but, you know, don't ask for a $400 camera. Work with what you have, be resourceful, and don't spend money unless you really, 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 really have to, especially because you're a kid. You don't really want to be spending money on this kind of thing, and so I have managed to make plenty of films without spending a single cent. So a couple last things before you start shooting. You should make a shot list and a storyboard, probably, before you start making your film. These can help a lot, and they'll make it a lot easier on set because you know what you're going to be doing on set in terms of camera work, and also staging. So this is basically where you take the script and you make it into a series of shots. You're drawing out on paper what every shot is going to look like. And it doesn't have to be a piece of art. You could even use stick figures if you want to. I used little boxes with stick figures in them for some of Spy Squad. I literally drew boxes beside the script in the margins and then drew in the characters and the staging and what the shot was going to be. It was very simple, but it worked and it helped me get a feel for what it was going to look like. So a storyboard is a series of squares or rectangles. It's basically just a snapshot of each shot, and it shows with arrows and text what the characters on screen are doing, what the camera is doing, where the camera is, and other information like that. So it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but it is extremely helpful to have. And a shot list is basically just a list of all the different shots, where the camera is, and its movement, and what is happening in the shot. It's sort of like a storyboard, but it's just a list of all the shots in text. So you can see what my shot lists and storyboards look like on my website, and that's in the filmmaking section. And you can go to the behind-the-scenes part of the filmmaking drop-down menu. The final thing you need to do before you start shooting is to schedule the shoot dates. When are you going to be shooting this film? Where are you going to be shooting it? And who needs to be there? This is very important so you can reach out to people and tell them where they're going and when they need to be there. If they're your family, then you're basically just telling them where you're going to need to go with them. And once more, schedule around people's plans. So make sure you're not inconveniencing people with your schedule. Ask them what dates work for them, when they can shoot things. And you might have to shoot one part of the film several weeks apart from another part of the film. Or like with Spy Squad, we shot half of the film a year after the first half of the film, which is funny because it was supposed to take place over, I mean, the main part of the film was supposed to take place over a couple days, and yet we aged a year in between a few of the shots. So once you get on set, you are the director, and you might be acting in some of the shots, and you might actually be the cameraman as well, or cameraman or camerawoman, and so you have plenty of responsibility on set, and it's your job to make sure that everything goes smoothly. And you might have an assistant director who can help out with that. That might be a family member or a friend. But the moment you get on set, you need to make sure that everything is set up and you get moving as fast as possible, because you don't want to be shooting a 2-minute scene for 3 hours. Obviously, that is not good. So make sure that everything is set up as quickly and efficiently as possible, and that you have enough battery power, that all the actors are feeling okay with their lines, that everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing, that everything is ready to roll. And you're also going to be coaching your actors a little bit. Don't overwhelm them with too much direction, but definitely make sure they know what you're doing, what they're supposed to be doing, and ask them if they have any questions before you start shooting. Ask everyone if they have any questions about what they're supposed to be doing before you start shooting, because the worst thing that could happen with that is everybody just is unaware of what they're supposed to be doing, and you lose a shot because people weren't ready or they weren't aware of what they were supposed to be doing. So then, at last, that magical moment comes when you get to say, action. And just like that, filming for your film has begun. So follow your shot list and your storyboard in terms of the camera setup. And I would bring a tripod definitely to the shoot, unless you're doing all handheld, which you can do if you're doing guerrilla filmmaking, that's sort of necessary. And if you're doing an action sequence, usually those are handheld. But normally you're going to want to shoot on a tripod because it's a lot more stable. And go easy on everyone that you're working with, because chances are they're probably not professional actors or cinematographers or anything like that. They're just trying to help you with your film. So give them good advice, and don't put too much pressure on them, because you want to, once again, treat everyone you're working with very nicely. And even if the first take you get is really great, do it a couple more times to get coverage, because if you lose that file, then you don't have that shot. The worst thing, one of the worst things that can happen in a film is you lose your footage, and then you're stuck with nothing, and you have to go back and reshoot it, which is, it's very annoying when you have to do that. Fortunately, I have not really had to do reshoots that much. I have changed the course of a film during production. Spy Squad, as I mentioned before, I had to rewrite the entire second half of the script, but it worked out okay. And you definitely need to be prepared when you come to set. You need to know exactly what you're doing. You need to have the script, you need to have the storyboard, the shot list, all your equipment that you're going to be using. You need to have everybody there who you need to be there, your crew, your cast, and you need to know exactly what you're shooting. You need to have a schedule for the time length that you're going to be there, and so you know how fast you have to shoot these shots. And also be prepared for bad scenarios. For example, if it starts raining, what are you going to do? If you're inside, that's probably okay. But if you're outside, you need to be prepared for weather changes or things like that. Even just the sun going away behind a cloud can mess up a shot, because maybe in the previous shot it was really sunny, and then all of a sudden it's really dark. That could be sort of strange, but you can sometimes fix those things in post. But do your best to adapt to the situation on set, and be prepared for actors who forget their lines, things like that. Don't lose your temper, no matter what, because that can be disastrous. If people see the director is not handling a situation well, they're probably not going to handle the situation well, and they might not want to work with you anymore, or on any future films. And I'm not going to go a whole lot into equipment, but like I said before, try to get affordable stuff that works. You know, just a camcorder that hopefully doesn't cost too much. You could even use your phone, because nowadays phones have pretty good cameras. And like I mentioned before, you're probably going to need a tripod for most of your shots. Some shots you can go handheld. If it's an action sequence, almost always go handheld, because that increases the tension, makes it feel more fluid, and increases the amount of movement everywhere, and it makes the audience feel sort of more like they're in the action itself. But if it's a dialogue scene, you're probably going to want to have a tripod. And you should also have a mic. Most cameras have decent built-in mics, but you might want to invest in a separate mic, like a boom mic or a shotgun mic. Those can be pretty helpful. They can pick up sound that your camera might not be able to by itself. And once again, you could ask for that for your birthday or your for Christmas or something like that. You might also want to have lights. I don't usually use a whole lot of lights because oftentimes I'm shooting outdoors, and so the lighting is pretty much just the sun, and it usually works pretty well, but especially if you're shooting indoors, you might want to have actual lights, and these can be sort of expensive, so you might want to be flexible and use things around you, like use a lamp as a light, and just use what's in your environment to help with the lighting situation. And always bring extra batteries. Batteries are extremely important, and if you run out of battery life on your camera, then your shoot pretty much skids to a stop and you have to leave, which can be very frustrating because then you have to come back and do some more shooting on another day or something if you're far from where your extra batteries are. And if you're using rechargeable batteries, then bring the charger. Just use... bring as much battery power as possible to the set so that you don't run out and find you're in a bad situation. And in terms of framing, this can be very important for getting a good look in your shots. You always want to have your character, or almost always, not centered in the screen because it can be a bit weird and we're not really used to seeing characters directly in the center of the screen. Usually they're off to one side or the other. This is called the rule of thirds. Basically, you divide the screen into thirds, both up and down and sideways, and your character should be located on one of those thirds. So like a little bit off-center, not so little that it's just strange, but also not so much that they're almost off of the edge of the shot. You want to be able to see your character, but you also want to be close to them sometimes and definitely have variety in terms of the angles and distances of shots that you're using. So use wide shots, use close-up shots, use extreme close-up shots, use medium shots, use bird's eye shots, use worm's eye shots, use canted shots, use a decent amount of shots or types of shots. But not so many that you're overwhelming your viewer, because the temptation for many filmmakers can be to use as many kinds of weird shots as they can. But then this gets so weird that it's just off-putting to your audience. And, you know, you don't want to shoot an entire movie where every other shot is tilted, or you have a bunch of shots that are taken from a high angle in a row. You don't want things like that, because that is really annoying to watch. And it gets repetitive, and then these what were once cool shots eventually lose their coolness, and they just become weird and overused. So never overuse one kind of shot, unless it's for a very specific stylized purpose, but definitely be careful with that. Working on set can be great, but it can also be a disaster. Like I said before, be prepared for the worst-case scenario. Definitely bring several copies of the scene that you're shooting from the script, and have your actors look over them. Sometimes your actors might have a lot of difficulty memorizing a line, and you might even have to change the line on set to make it easier for them to remember. So definitely be flexible on set. There are going to be a lot of things that you're going to need to change at the moment that you're on set and working these things out. So you have to be very flexible as a filmmaker. Sometimes the weather might not be cooperating, or you might not be able to have an actor on a day where you really needed that actor, or you might not be able to shoot in this location that you really wanted to shoot in. So you have to figure out ways to work around those things. So definitely think about these things in advance so that you have some of these answers to possible problems in your mind before they actually come up. And when you're directing your actors, be sure to not tell them exactly how to say it, like, say it like this, and then you say the line, because that can be a bit frustrating for them. Just give them sort of hints to nudge them in the right direction. And another tip for working on set, you might want to bring snacks or food to feed the people who are working on set with you. And just for yourself, this is normally called crafty, And it doesn't have to be extremely fancy, especially if it's just your family. Just bring a couple snacks along, because especially if you're going to be working in one location for a few hours, you might need lunch, so definitely pack that. And your actors and crew people might get hungry, so you don't want to be working with a hangry crew, because that is no fun. And another important thing to think about when you're shooting is you might want to have some bonus features. So if you're going to do those, I would recommend taking a few stills at least of the production, maybe taking some videos of behind-the-scenes work, and that can be some really interesting material to work with for bonus materials for your film that can be published as promotional content for the film itself, or just as additional features for anyone who wants to see them. This behind-the-scenes footage could also be sort of your own director's diary, and you can, you know, point out some things that went wrong in the production, and maybe you'll learn from those, and sort of it'll be a diary of sorts to remind you for future productions what things you need to remember, what things you could do better, and what things you should change for the next time around. And when making your film, you should make sure that there are no continuity problems. Continuity is basically, it means, for example, like if a character is wearing a red t-shirt when they walk into a room, in the next shot that you see them inside the room, they should still be wearing that red t-shirt. If, for example, they had magically changed into a blue t-shirt or something like that, that wouldn't make sense unless there was a reason for it, of course. So this is continuity, making sure that everything lines up and there are no strange sort of glitches in the film itself where something changes abruptly for no reason at all. So definitely pay attention to your actors' costumes and the setup of things in a certain location. Like if you have a picture hung up on a wall in one shot and then the next shot where you see that wall, it's gone, that doesn't make sense. So make sure that everything is lining up in terms of continuity. And I guess sometimes it can be a bit annoying in the editing room and also just for your viewers if you find a continuity mistake. So once you finally finish shooting your film, which hopefully shouldn't take too long because this is a short film, you could probably get it done in a couple weeks at the most. I mean, it depends on people's schedules and when you can shoot these things. But once you have all the footage, once you're done with shooting the entire film, then it's time to move on to editing. So in terms of software, you can use anything like iMovie, which is free, so that's nice if you're just starting out and you want something that is easy to use relatively and it doesn't cost anything. iMovie is a nice option if you have a Mac, and there are other free editing programs out there that you can use, but there are also ones that you pay for that are a bit higher quality. And they allow you to do more with your film. But probably you won't need a whole lot of capability in your editing software for for a short film. So something like iMovie should hopefully work for this film. So once you start editing, be sure that you don't spend too much time on it, because otherwise you might end up just spending months and months and months editing, or maybe even more than months, maybe even a year or something like that. And then the film will never get done. Like I said at the beginning, the number one goal for your first short film should be to finish it. Definitely spend some time on editing, make sure it's as polished as it can be, but also don't spend so much time on it that it never gets done and it just ends up sitting on a hard drive and never gets finished. So once you're done with going through and editing everything that you can, then it's time to do a test screening. So basically, you just get together a group of people, again, this could be your family, maybe some friends as well, and show the film to them. And again, what I do most of the time is I print out a sheet of questions for your viewers to fill out after they're done watching the film. So play the film once through, and don't talk over it or anything, just let everyone watch the film, and then after they're done, you can request that they answer the questions that you've printed out, and hopefully you'll get some feedback from that. You can ask things like, was this scene too slow? Or do we need to do some ADR? That's going back in, doing voiceovers to replace some audio or dialogue. And ask questions like that about the editing to help you improve it. Some films can change a lot in the editing process, and especially after they've gotten feedback. For example, with Enigma Island, I finished the first draft of editing the film, and then I did a test screening, and we felt like it wasn't quite right. The reactions I was getting was that like the ending wasn't really working as well as I had hoped it would have. And so we brainstormed, and together we all figured out how to fix it. And so with the input of everyone who had watched the film, with the help of the cast and crew, which was my family, and we were able to figure out a solution that we could do in post-production to fix up the ending and make it a lot more satisfying and suspenseful and just more interesting. And we did go back and reshoot some things, but we just did those reshoots in my bedroom, actually, because they were just like close-ups of a notebook, different things like that. And we did plenty of ADR to help patch things up. We sort of added a segment in post without even shooting a whole lot of new stuff, just close-ups of a journal that we didn't have in the original cut, which was interesting because, you know, the film is set in the Caribbean, and so obviously we could not go back there and just shoot what we wanted to shoot to fix it up. We had to do everything here in New York, and only using ADR and a few new close-up shots of a journal. And using that, we were able to improve the ending by a lot, and I think the film was much improved because of the feedback I got on that film. So getting feedback on your work is very important. Make sure, once again, that the responses you're getting are honest, and then implement them. Go back and edit it again, and maybe once you've implemented all those changes and gone through several times and made sure that everything is just how it should be, and you've done as much as you can in editing, then maybe you can do another test screening if you want. And once you feel like it's done, it's finished, the film is polished, and the editing works, the pacing of everything is good, then it's done. But is it really done? Because you have a final cut of your film now. The film itself is finished. But now you're on to the next stage, which is the release of the film, assuming you are going to release it. Because this is your first short film, you might not want to get it out there. You might think, well, it's okay, but it's not so great that I would want to show it to a bunch of people, and that's fine. Like I said before, there are plenty of films that I've made that I wouldn't show to people, but they were very important in my own filmmaking journey, and they helped me a lot. They taught me a whole lot about filmmaking. So you can get a group of people together to watch the film, sort of have a premiere. This could be at your house even. You could, like, rent out a space, but, I mean, that's, you know, it costs money. And like I said, I don't really spend money on my films. You might, but, I mean, I wouldn't advise doing that. As much as possible, try to keep your budget low. So maybe invite everyone who worked on the film, your friends, family, cast members, crew members, invite them all together to do a premiere screening of it. And then you can release the film on YouTube, on if you have a website, then definitely release it there. And it's your decision whether you're going to release it for free or not. If it's on YouTube, obviously it will be free. But, you know, you can charge people something for it, but I wouldn't really do that. I don't do that for my films. Even my latest films so far, I don't charge any people anything for. They're free for everyone to see. This is mainly to sort of get the word out about my films, I wouldn't really feel great about charging people, especially because I didn't spend a whole lot of money on these films. You could maybe ask for donations if you have spent money to help cover those costs. But if you are going to release your film, then definitely promote it. You know, you can make posters, put up an ad somewhere, I mean, for free, of course, maybe just like a Facebook post or something on whatever social media you have, or you could ask one of your parents or something to put up a post about that. You know, tell your friends about it, tell family members to watch it. Again, this is assuming that you want that, because you don't necessarily have to release this, of course. It could just be something that you make, and it teaches you a lot about filmmaking, but it's not necessarily something that you want to share with the world. And you can also submit your film to film festivals. I have submitted a couple of my films to two different film festivals, and Suspect was featured in the Astoria Film Festival in 2019. And so, yeah, you can definitely submit films, your film to film festivals. Usually they do charge something, though, so I don't usually submit to a whole lot of festivals, but sometimes, you know, they'll send you something in exchange for the price to submit, or sometimes it's free. You can, there are some festivals that it's free for kids to enter, so definitely look around for those, and if you want to, then submit to those. And don't get too disappointed if it's not chosen, or if you don't get quite the reaction you want from your viewers, because, again, this is your first short film. Don't beat yourself up if it's not a masterpiece. And remember those bonus feature things that I was talking about earlier? Well, you can release those. Like, for example, I release blooper reels, which are always fun. You know, they're just videos of a compilation of all the mess-ups that happened on set that you caught on camera, you know, actors flubbing their lines or some technical difficulty that was caught in the midst of filming. You know, different things like that. And also, if you have footage of what went on behind the scenes, then you can release that as, again, part of a way to promote your film, and also just for fun to show people the process that went into making this film. So if you've made it this far, congratulations! You've actually made a short film. And that is something that not a whole lot of people do, even though it is easy. Relatively with the technology we have now, it's just finishing it, getting it done, putting the work in necessary, you know, writing a script, directing actors, getting props and scouting locations and editing, promoting, releasing, all these things. They add up to be quite a bit, even if it's just for a short film. And like I mentioned earlier, every bit of experience you get on a set is very important, and no matter what it is you're doing with a film, and no matter how good it is or how bad it is, it will help you in learning about the craft, and it will deepen your knowledge of filmmaking, and will help make your future films even better. So I hope you enjoyed this overview of making your first short film. Now, we didn't go into a whole lot of extremely specific details here because, you know, I was covering everything from the first idea to releasing it, which is a lot. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into making a film, and so there were a lot of things that we couldn't really get into in this episode, but definitely check out my future episodes on filmmaking that go deeper into it, and also I'd really recommend listening to episode 3, which is on guerrilla filmmaking, which is a type of filmmaking that, well, you're shooting on vacation or just shooting with a very sparse crew and cast, just in on location with maybe just a camera and that's all. But definitely check that out. That goes into the specifics of what that kind of filmmaking is and the pros and cons of it and how you can implement it in your own films. And to watch all my films that I mentioned in this episode, you can go to my website, graysontaylor.info. As always, that's my name, .info, like information. And there you can find all my films that I've released publicly, and you can see behind-the-scenes pictures of my own process in making my films. So definitely check those out, and I hope you enjoy them. And if you haven't yet, make sure to follow or subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. And please consider leaving a review. That can be on the forum of my website or on the review section of this podcast. So to all you young entrepreneurs and artists out there, stay creative and have a great week.